Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
I got to start with a little hair update. I don't really know what's going on. You know, I don't know if you'll know this or not, but you get a new haircut and you're just not sure yet how to style it. You're like,
yeah, you got to get used to it.
Yeah. The old one was different. Mm-hmm. And now I have a new one. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still looking great. Thanks. And I'm just hiding mine under a hat, as we were just discussing. I was going to take it off.
But it's the greatest hat because in huge pink letters, it has hashtag relax, which I feel like is probably an aggressive reminder for you.
Yes. Right? Yes. This is something I need. And don't, God forbid, someone else tells me to relax. You will be murdered. So it's best that I just get the reminder on my hat. So that I don't kill anyone.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. You know, Fridays, like people think of as like a relaxing day or like excited to get into the weekend. It is not that way for a lot of people. My husband's worst day at work consistently is Friday. I guess because sometimes people want to get stuff done for the weekend. So they dump things and whatever. But
Lawyers and law firms, people used to purposely do that. Let's file something on a Friday at 5 p.m. or whatever. But at least litigators.
Yeah, we don't do that. No, we're all
you guys aren't jerks.
No. Well, maybe. We're definitely jerks, but in a different way. In a different way. Yeah. Because we're usually – when I dump work, that means more work. Like it's more collaborative, right? So it's like more work for everybody. So I don't really do that.
So anyway, we're going to channel a little hashtag relax.
People. I love it. Okay. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. Whew. We're not really going to do it through Apples Never Fall. Liam Moriarty's newest adaptation is on Peacock. It is kind of divisive, I think. But we don't have to talk about all that. What I really want to talk about is the thing I knew would be the biggest struggle, which is the tennis scenes. These are, you know, it's a fear of mine for Carrie Soto too, because I love the book. And, you know, there's been, I don't watch any of them because I'm not a tennis person. Mm-hmm. And maybe even worse if you're a tennis person. Like Emma Stone was in a movie.
Didn't see that one.
These things are hard. Having real human beings, especially actors, play such an athletic, really specific sport. It's not like golf where there's some walking. I don't know. Like tennis, the action is on the court and it's like you got to be moving.
Yeah.
And it's hard to fake. And that was very evident in episode one of Apples Never Fall.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, huge tennis player here. Yeah. But I don't know that I'm very judgy about tennis scenes. I mean, I did not see the Emma Stone movie you're referring to. Oh, the Venus and Serena movie, King, whatever. Yep. That was, I had no problem with that.
Oh, you watched that. Okay.
No problem. Okay. I'm not worried about Carrie Soto. This seemed just comical. It just seemed over the top comical to me. And that's probably was supposed to be. Like they are super competitive, you know, throwing tantrums. And there's obviously the family dynamics added into it, which you're right. If I played tennis, maybe with a family member, I would get over the top comical or fired up. Yeah. But I just, they did not land for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard. And I don't even know what good looks like. So I wouldn't know, but I just knew the cuts. It was weird.
The cuts. They were really trying.
Because they were trying to have, they probably had stand-ins. I think if it just looked
a little more realistic.
Yeah. I think they probably have stand-ins that were actually knew footwork and knew how to move, but then they couldn't show your face. And it was a little problematic. It's a problem. It's a problem. Yeah. And these are not people who just play tennis. This is a long-standing two people who could have gone far professionally, instead decided to then breed all of these like basically Grand Slam champions. You have to believe these are not just tennis players. These are the best of the best of the best.
Yes.
It's hard.
Yeah. And I didn't read the book, so I didn't even know that until I knew there was no tennis aspect. I had no idea. So I was like, oh, we've got a whole tennis part
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I forgot because it is essential to their character and the setup, but it is not like, it's not a tennis, it's not Carrie Soto, right? It's like a tennis book. This is not a tennis.
Exactly.
It's more of a mystery what happened to Joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a little bit of a challenge. A little bit of a challenge for our Friday.
Yeah, exactly. So that did not really land entirely there. I know.
No, I know. I want to go back to Emma Stone because I just referenced her. She's on top of mind. Not tennis movies were not on top of mind. It was Emma Stone because she just this weekend won her second Oscar. She's one of the youngest to win two Oscars at 35 now for Poor Things. By the way, do you have any idea what this movie is about?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. When it was first nominated, or when she won whatever, the Golden Globe or something, I actually watched a trailer, read about it, and it's interesting.
Yes. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I have not watched it. I adore her, though. I really adore her. I think she is very dynamic and interesting and charismatic and unique, which is maybe hard to do.
Seems so normal. I know. Seems like
normal.
Like, yes, she's just so like her speech. Oh my God. She's just, but funny. Yeah, I don't know.
So funny. Okay. So that's the other thing. I listened to her. So I kind of went on a binge listening to her on different podcasts. I don't know that anyone has ever been on both Fresh Air and Smartless. Fresh Air, NPR, like really in-depth questions, like not afraid to go there, like childhood, what did that do? Mm-hmm. How does that feel? And talk about sexuality and religion. And then she's on Smartless, which is Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. She held her own, which is really hard to do. It's one of my gripes with that show is they're often competing for time from themselves. And the guest sometimes has a hard time getting
in
there.
Yeah.
So she did not. She really was fantastic. She was not only funny and inserted herself constantly. She's like, you guys were supposed to be asking me questions. It was a really great episode, as was her on Fresh Air. She did go deep, talked about her anxiety and so many tools she's had to cultivate and why acting is like the perfect thing because it keeps her in the present moment, whereas anxiety is so fueled by either past thinking or future thinking. So fascinating. I just adore her. I also loved that she made a PowerPoint presentation to convince her family. Have you heard this story?
No,
yeah,
I have not.
To convince her family to homeschool her so she could really get into acting and didn't have to do it outside of school hours, which is just so funny because that reminds me of my daughter who makes a PowerPoint presentation for everything, including getting a puppy and then getting a phone. I mean, she is.
I have one that does that. Dan likes to do that. He makes that. Yeah. And does his Christmas list on Canva and it moves, has moving images and links.
So does she.
Yeah. So there's always one, it seems. But to convince your parents to let you be homeschooled is a big ask.
Yeah. Well, I think at that point she'd already been auditioning and they knew it was interfering, like school was interfering with being able to drive somewhere or do anything. But so it was a next logical step than it would be for one of our kids to ask for that. So I am just like really, really crushing on her. Love it.
Yeah. She was so cute. Did you see the footage of her after she had won or when she was out in the lobby and I guess that Poor Things was about to win an award and she's like out, I guess they mix and mingle some of these celebs in between awards out in the, you know, but there's TV screens showing that it's about to be, and she's like talking to someone and she's like, oh my God. And you know, her dress was not so, I don't know if it was before or after it broke, but she couldn't exactly run that well because fitted in the, so she's running
like scooting.
But like also freaking out. Like, I'm gonna miss it. Yeah. And everyone's just like looking at her like, what are you doing? Because I think it wasn't like she was gonna miss her own award for like best actress, but it was close enough that she was absolutely like in a tizzy, but an adorable tizzy where she's like, ah!
Yes,
it was very cute.
I just can't get enough of her.
Her and Ryan Gosling have this like undying like love and friendship and support for each other because of, you know, they've been in a couple of movies together.
We
both love
Crazy Stupid Love
and the La way La they were La in Land. That.
Yep.
Right. So just now that they've both obviously super successful and continue to, you know, kill it in their own ways and how much they still like their interactions. And so when she joked about how I think I broke it during I'm Just Ken,
that Ken
was like,
that was so great. Fun, right.
So great.
They are both so unique in this. It's same thing, like that she could be on Fresh Air and also be on Smartless.
You're right.
They are incredibly great dramatic actors and also so funny.
Yes. Oh my God.
Their comedic timing is, and instincts, like I said, you can listen to Emma Stone on Smartless and you'll hear those comedic instincts to just go with it and roll with it. It's like improv training is so good. So good.
Yeah. Their delivery. Yeah. I mean, there was those memes. I think when she won the SAG, him looking at her and it's like, find someone who looks at you the way Ryan looks at Emma.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Kate Winslet and Leo to me. Like they clearly formed this bond. They want what's, you know, everything for the other one.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so, I mean, I don't know. So those two, that's the other part I loved. I mean, in addition to I'm Just Ken, I said that he stole, I didn't want him to, I didn't want him to steal the, who won the movie when we covered Barbie? I said Ryan Gosling. I thought he stole the movie. I didn't want him to steal the movie because I understand it's a movie about Barbie.
Yeah.
But then he stole the Oscars.
Yeah.
I literally for 3 days after was singing I'm Just Ken. And it's an annoying song, let's be honest, in a way.
Yes.
It gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't stop. I'm like, I'm Just Ken. And like, what are you doing, Kate?
Shout out to the producers, too, because it was the perfect time. The producers of the Oscars, right? It was the perfect time to have that song. It just landed so well. I didn't even care about that song in the movie. At the Oscars, that performance, like, it was starting to drag a little. It was perfect.
Yeah,
it was,
and then they just so blew good. It out. Yeah. I mean, just the way he did it. I know. And then when he got to, like, Greta Gerwig and Margot in the audience, and they're, like, singing along. I mean, it really it was a great, great moment in the show that otherwise sometimes gets accused of being a little bit of a snooze fest.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So
it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always long. It tracks. That's for sure.
That's why they started it early.
Legitimately appreciated that, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to just come back to Emma Stone for 1 second because I forgot my like best thing ever. Courtney from Bliss Books and Beauty did a meme, which so many people do. They do the like matching book covers to dresses. Mm-hmm. And she paired the Astrology House with Emma Stone, which I freaking love for so many reasons. But also I was like, oh my God, she totally would be such a great Margot, who's the one of the characters in my book. I was like, oh,
please make a vision board, Corinne. Yeah. A la Tia Williams and Gabrielle
Union.
Just envision that right there.
I love it.
Well, we just put it into the universe.
That's right. Also, Jason Bateman was on. I mean, all these things are weirdly connected. We've been talking about this, you and I, offline about the weird connections happening. Jason Bateman of Smartless was on Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Experts, again, I think it's third time. And you have to listen to this episode. It is so good. Their conversation about like how to deal with friendship, conflict in friendship, was so real and also incredibly wise. Like, I'm like, you aren't armchair right now. You're like legit therapist right now. I mean, it was really insightful and wise and how best to do conflict, how to avoid conflict without like building resentment. It was so good. And then how marriage is the only place that can sustain a real fight. And what a healthy marriage looks like in that way. I thought it was absolutely fascinating. And I'm not even giving extra credit to the fact that they legitimately talked about astrology for some time.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Like minutes. Minutes. Like, it went on almost longer than I thought it should. I'm like, you guys don't know it? Enough. They're, right. They're both Dax and Jason are both Capricorns.
Okay.
They were talking about how the fact that Jason surrounds himself with Capricorns, whereas Dax does not. Like, Jason's his only Capricorn friend. And I was like, guys, that's because it's the rest of your chart. We got to look at the rest of your chart. They really talked a lot about Capricorn. Although Jason Bateman did say, and you never can tell if Jason Bateman's giving a real answer or not because they're so off the cuff. He did say he was a Leo rising, which I was like, Monica asked.
I don't think he would joke about that if he was having this real conversation
about it.
He might have
made something up.
Oh, like, I see. Because
it was also like they don't know everything about it. But I don't know. I see it 100%. It doesn't feel wrong to me.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. Wow. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
That episode is definitely worth listening. And just like I said, to hear two men talk about like how they value friendship, what they value in each other, and how to manage and navigate friendships. This is not a bro dude conversation at all. I loved it. Loved it. For two older men, you know, approaching 50. So like, you know.
Oh, I'm going to check this out. I love those two. So that's perfect.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one. What else?
Well, we talked last week about the idea of you and whether or not we were going to read it before the adaptation comes out with Anne Hathaway on May 2nd. You then went ahead and bam, read it. And then I got it on Audible and I'm probably a little more than halfway through.
Racing through it.
I mean, yes, it's gotten, you know, as I said to you offline, out of my Audible slump. And now I'm back to, even if I have 10 minutes in the car, I'm like, put it on
while I'm
emptying the dishwasher, which is a good sign for an Audible book if I want to play it, even in the small windows of time. She reads it, Robin Lee, on Audible.
The author.
So yes, the author. I don't know. I don't know. We were saying like, I don't know if how much the book is, a movie's going to differ from the book.
Yeah. Because the tagline for the book is what if your teenager's dream was your reality? And page one, the character, the protagonist has a tween daughter and they're going to basically a Harry Styles type concert and getting to meet them. Getting to meet them.
Yeah. Like a boy band.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, and then they end up dating. No spoilers for anything.
Yeah.
But in the trailer for the movie, there's no Anne Hathaway. I'm not getting vibes that she's got a teenager, but maybe they're hiding the ball.
Right.
It's a weird thing to hide the ball on when it is literally on the cover of the book.
Right. It's fundamental to the story. Now, if they change that, I think that would be a very different story. We don't know, though. You're right. The trailer might just be showing the highlights and not and leaving out the daughter. But that is the issue throughout, at least as far as I've read, and you've read the whole thing, is this whole, besides the age difference and that he's in a boy band and she's a mom, but that her daughter is in love with this boy the way a 12-year-old would be in love with the lead singer of her favorite boy band. So it's part of the conflict and her, whether she should tell her and how long can she hide it from her and what is her reaction going to be when she finds out. And all of that is, that's the story in addition to their romance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it does seem like a fundamental change, but I also kind of don't think so. Like, I feel like a fundamental change would be if he was instead like a Tiger Woods, like a pro golfer or something. Like, then I'm like, well, that's totally, now you've changed the whole book. Yes, they would definitely be eliminating an entire line of conflict. But it's not, I don't know. It doesn't seem.
No, I think they can do it because then it's really a story, right?
Yeah.
More focused on the age difference and her rediscovering and what, you know, life after divorce and all these views that people have of women of a certain age and being with a younger man and all of that. And also it's just hot. It's very hot, the book. I'm sure the movie is going to be very hot.
Yeah. Well, the trailer, I think, focused on that chemistry. Correct. And
the chemistry. Yeah. So, I mean, I think people will want to watch that story.
Agreed.
Without the because there's enough conflict, in just for issues with just that, whether this relationship is, you know, appropriate or not, or acceptable.
Yeah. And
what is she doing? Has she lost her mind? And all of that.
Yeah. And what is he doing? Like, is he.
Yeah.
I know. Is he, only committing to her? Kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Can it work?
Exactly. Can it work? Right. Which is, I think, really the fundamental difference or question of the book. So I think it will be faithful to that. I don't know about the rest. We'll see. In May. What else? Anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's all that's happening. We've got a lot.
Oh, okay. One last thing. Oh, and then we'll go typewriter, right? Let's check out the typewriter wisdom. I am reading, I have to pick it up because I can't remember that. Listen for the Lie.
Oh, I downloaded that because I heard the Audible is so good.
Oh,
so
really?
That's my next Audible.
She broke out on the New York Times bestseller list, which seems impossible these days if you're not. Oh, I guess she is a pick. Is she a pick?
She is a pick, yeah.
GMA.
She's GMA. Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, she is.
Then I have nothing to say. You know, it's a true crime podcast is a big element of the book. The transcripts you'll actually hear, I presume.
I heard makes it so good that these transcripts are then read. So it's sort of interspersed.
Right. Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
I bet if there was ever an audiobook I could listen to, it would be something like that.
Yeah. It was Jessica Saunders, who we've had on and an author, Love Me. She was raving about the Audible, and she is not an Audible person.
I get it.
Because she gets distracted. And she said this one totally engrossed her.
Yeah. I could see that because I love podcasts. And if a substantial part of the book is mimicking a podcast, then that makes complete sense to me. Very interesting.
So I have that queued up for after this one.
I am very intrigued by this podcast element of books, right?
Yeah, Lisa Jules.
I mean, and there's been many others. Yeah, many others.
The Other Side of Disappearing, Kate Claiborne. Okay. We love her. She wrote Georgie All Along. There's a podcast element in her new romance novel.
I am kind of desperate to jump on the bandwagon, not just because it's a bandwagon, but because we're podcasters.
Oh, I was like,
hello?
You mean because of that?
Yeah, because we're in it. But I am a little worried it'll burn out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love it though. I do.
I know.
Love it.
It is a trend that we can get on board for.
Yeah. Obviously. All right. Let me reach back for
my typewriter. Is our wisdom other than hashtag relax, people?
Yes,
that's part of your wisdom for today.
That is my hat. Wisdom. That's right. Yeah. That's the first and foremost. All right. Let's see. What do we got down here? Okay. Oh, that's a good one. We all want to be understood, to be acknowledged, to be loved. Ain't that the truth?
Read that again.
We all want to be understood, to be acknowledged, to be loved.
Oh, to be seen. There you go. Our big theme.
Yes.
To be seen, which has been coming up a lot on our episodes lately with some authors.
It has.
Our themes come back around.
Always.
They're never gone, really.
No, they just keep coming back to us.
Okay.
All right. Well,
happy Friday. Have a good weekend.
Same.
Everyone.
Yeah. Bye.